We're in the book of Job, and chapter 19, verse 23. Oh, that my words were now written, oh, that they were printed in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen and laid in the rock forever. For I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy the body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. Well, I'm in so many parts of Job that it's very difficult to choose a background to as a base. However, the phrase I'd like to bring to you is in Job 23, verse 10. I shall come forth as gold. I shall come forth as gold. Now, a consideration of those choice men who and women who seek God to come into fellowship with him. It still happens in such a time as this. An immortal soul is touched by the grace of God, is aware of its sinful state and need of God. Such a soul is seeking, led by the Holy Spirit, to the Lord Jesus Christ and finds satisfaction, the forgiveness of sins and the righteousness of Christ to be found in Christ. However, that is the beginning of a pilgrimage which we've entitled The Pursuit of God. Now, I also would like to make this distinction. There are three friends here, Bildad, Eliphaz, and Zophar, and three cycles of arguments. They're tedious, and they were tedious for Job. But really represent good, believing men who attended whatever kind of place of worship they had regularly, but were not regenerate. You can have that, where a person can say, yes, I believe in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I believe that Jesus Christ died for me. I gave my heart to him. Yes, I believe all that. I'm 100% behind you. But they are really on a level that's intellectual and agreeing with all that. But the one we are talking about here is a living soul. And that's what we all should be. The product of regeneration. It sounds the same, except is starting glory, to be born again. And from that, you see, very often we can make this mistake of thinking they're both the same. And all you have to say is, come to my heart, Lord Jesus. I read a book once by Alexander, and he taught the difference how to with the children, and even have a child converted, how to distinguish between a pious child and a Christian child. Now then, that's quite a problem, because you've got to be right. Now, a pious child is always good, always well behaved. But one that does really believe can be quite naughty and normal and lively. And very often we think that piety is faith. It's not. It's nice, it's pleasant, but it's not. So when we think of the faith, we have to really see what are the scriptural principles, what is required, who makes me alive, and that is the Holy Spirit. Now, the pilgrimage of the believer in the real self, the Christian life, ongoing relationship in the pursuit of God, in the world, we are in the world, and in the world we have to face Satan and the world itself and our own lusts. All those are there. We don't escape those because we have become Christian. They are there. That's our setting. That's where we live and have our being. But what we want to see is progress. That it is such a world that the grace of God can give us overcoming grace, that we ride above these things. That's the wonderful thing about it. Now then, sometimes, and it does happen, in the best of believers, sometimes we lose heart. Now, have you ever lost heart? It's an awful thing to lose heart. You haven't lost your faith. You can't. It's impossible. But you're going to go down and lose heart. Sometimes we slacken our pace. That's also true. We're natural. We are like that. And also, we can enter years of wasted, years of the locusts of Eden. And in the true believer, he comes out of it all and regrets that he wandered, regrets that his attention was distracted by something else. But yet, the determined seeker will pursue his great quest of fellowship with God in this life. Now, the difficulties of Job, a background and a glimpse of his life, and the familiar afflictions of Job, Satan challenges God, such as he said, Job can't be genuine. Look how well off he is. He can't be genuine. And he is tested. But then in any case, we are tested in such a world as this. Satan will test us all. And that's a terrible thing. It is true. He challenges us. He challenges Job. Now, Job is a righteous man. He can be down sometimes. He can be sacking a little sometimes. He can waste some years sometimes. That can happen. But basically, he is a righteous man. When he had his great losses of his children, his possessions, and so on, he had an awful wife. You know what she said to him? Well, then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. Be finished with him. He's not giving you an easy time. Curse God and die. Be done with him. She wasn't much help. But many wives drag their husbands down, and many husbands likewise. So we have to be on our guard on spiritual things. His friends were pious, and they came out with pious platitudes. They said all the right things, but they didn't really know what they were. They had no understanding. This is his answer to them. Look at your losses. Look what God's done to you. This is his answer. The Lord gave, the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, isn't that a wonderful thing to be able to say? And it is only really a believer truly in his heart that is able to say, the Lord gave. Yes. The Lord hath taken away. And then, blessed be the name of the Lord. In the faith we have, it is a great and a wonderful reality. But he is a man of feeling, and a very powerful feeling at that. I read at the beginning, he said, you want to know how I feel in my emotions? Oh, that my words were now written, oh, that they were written in a book, that they were graven with an iron pen and lead in the rock forever. That's how I feel. Give me an iron pen and let me scratch in the rock. How I feel And there's nothing wrong in that. He felt deeply. And then he said, but I put this right to the end. But in all that, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. So we have a glimpse of Christ here. For I know that my Redeemer liveth. Whatever the difficulties, whatever the temptations, whatever they're going on and on of these religious men, I know that my Redeemer liveth. And he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. He stands amazed, and he will see God. Now then, the background is religious. Job is serious in his quest. Now his reply to his friends, there's no relief in their words. They fail to enter his experience. They can't really understand him. Here's this man. He's lost most things. He feels very deeply. Yet he doesn't understand us, or they did not understand him. They didn't understand this man's hunger for God and hunger for a reality of knowing God. Even today, is my complaints bitter? My stroke is heavier than my groaning. He said, even today I feel like that. I'd like to have that rock, an iron pen, because of things that I've gone through. That's how deep they are. I am a man of feeling, but I do know. I do know in the middle of all that, that he is my Redeemer. He longs for deeper fellowship to tell him all about it. All that I knew, where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I wish, as Job, I wish I knew how to get quickly to God. I wish I knew how to find him. His desire is draw near and know that the throne of grace, and to come to the throne of grace and pour his heart there. Now, I'm going to pray today. Was it a quickie? Or did you get there? Have you prayed? Have you confessed? Have you showed him your love? Have you showed him your longing? Or have you said, I'm in a rush today. I'll pray tonight. But at night you say, I'm so tired. I worked so hard. And it's gone. I'm going to say, are you my child? And you don't really want to know me? And you don't want fellowship with me? Are you my child? Or my soul say, I have so much to tell him. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with argument. I'd talk and talk and talk with him. That is, I'd pray and pray and pray and tell him everything. Tell him how I'm thinking. Tell him how I'm despairing. Tell him how I'm sad. And I have reasons for that. And yet, he gives me strength. I know I can trust him, but I want to talk to him. And I want a closer walk with God. So he can pour his heart, a burden of life, a place, a meeting place. We call it, don't we, in Hebrews, a throne of grace, a place where we obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Are you a stranger to that throne? Or are you often there? It's a lovely throne. It's lovely. It's a throne of grace. What's there? Mercy and help in times of need. How often can I come, Lord? As often as you like. As often as you like. And even during your daily duties, your heart can stay here, and I will understand the call of your heart. You can bring all here. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand. When he answers me, I would understand. However difficult the problem, and I've shared it with him, and he speaks to me, whatever the answer, I would understand, because it would be God's answer. And God's answer, I do not turn away from. I would understand, and I'm ready to hear. What would God do? Trust here. Better words than his. Comfort, better words than his comforters. Well, he pleads against me. They plead against me with great power, but he will give me strength, and I will trust in him. Would my God oppose me? No, never, he says. He's having a little chat with himself. Would my God oppose me? No, never. I know that. Even in my anguish and even in my despair sometimes, he would not oppose me. No, never. And he will listen to me. And whatever the depths, or however deep I've fallen and heartbroken, God will stretch out and he will reach me. And he will listen to his wounded child and listen to what I have to say. A place where God hears prayer. The righteous, the upright in God's sight, the believer in a right standing can reason with God. Now then, it sounds strange, but you look at the prayers in the Bible. Have you noticed Jeremiah's? He reasons with God. He argues with him. He says to him in one place, if you remember, you made a promise, God. Do not disgrace the throne of thy glory. You've got to keep your word. Don't bring disgrace on the throne of your glory. They were debates with God. They knew him so well. How do we know him? How well? The beginning of the answer is finding an explanation. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. And it's a verse here, a long one. I looked for him here, I looked for him there, but sometimes I feel as if he were hiding from me. Then I find him, or he finds me. Yet all the while, God is working his purpose out. However I may feel, however desperate may be, however frustrated I may be, I know this. He's working his purpose out. But he knoweth the way I take. And when he has tried me, when he's gone through this, what is he doing? He's purging me. He's making me into what he wants me to be. But he knoweth the way I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Imagine. I shall come forth as gold. And that's a very wonderful thing. Have you ever spoken to people and you want a little sympathy or something and they show no interest at all? It's an awful thing that there are people like that. They're even looking round to see who's there when you're talking to them, not with God. His eye is always upon us. I come forth as gold. Now, what about gold? Well, there was this system. You put the gold in a kind of an iron pot, I suppose, and a fire under it. And the goldsmith wouldn't take his eye off the gold. It got hotter and hotter and hotter until all the dross came to the surface. Now, if you let it overheat, the hole was ruined. If you left it underheat, it wasn't pure. It had to be the right temperature, and then you take the fire away. I said, like that. He deals with us, whatever we have to go through, whatever, however hard we feel it is, he's refining us. Do you want to be refined? Do you want to be beautiful? Dress in beauty, not your own, and that's obviously so. In James we have a similar thing. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, trials, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, when the Lord hath promised to him, promised to them that love him. He will receive a crown of life, says James. And what does Peter say in 1 Peter 1:7? That the trial of your faith, and this is like Job again, I'm going to try you, Job. I'm going to test you. The fire's under you now. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I'm trying you in order to purify you, that you might come out like gold. Then God moves in a mysterious way his wonders to perform. But remember this, it is always wonders that he performs. And then in the last chapter, Elihu comes in and he speaks to Job. And he said, I put in just an ordinary speech, I think. He says, well, Job, who do you think you are? Where were you when God created the earth? Where were you when God ordained the universe and all that? Where were you? Who are you, Job? And when I realized the greatness of God, he said, then I heard that. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Have you reached there? Mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Now then, what have you to say? You stand on the threshold of living faith and ask yourself, do I want to grow in grace? Do I want to follow God? Am I willing to submit myself to the will of God? Am I willing for him to be my all? Am I willing to be tried? Am I willing to be what he wants me to be? Are you? Are you? Are you willing to be what God wants you to be? It's lovely to hear at the end here, you know, I have heard of thee. Oh, yes. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. But now, mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Now then, if I may put a little illustration here. The last revival is usually say 1903-04. That's incorrect. It was still going on in 1930. And much of the remains are still going on up to 1960. And I was in one of the last mountain prayer meetings of that revival. Then it all died out. But you know, they were very interesting people. What was so special about them? They had one conversation, the Lord. They had one love, the Lord. And my grandmother would always take me with her. And they loved going on cemetery. And I understand that now. And they point to a grave and said, there's a brand plucked from the burning. And then they go to another and say, here's a conquest here. What a conquest it was. And they talk like that. Well, if they met each other, these people, in North Wales, they would say, how are you? And they'd say, still believing? still believe in Dalit Gredi. But if it, in South Wales, they use a different phrase. How are you? Kaelwyn Hadw. Being kept. Lovely. Still believing. And being kept by the grace of God. That's life. That's real life. To live with Him. To talk to Him. To obey Him. To honor Him. And to delight in Him. Then somebody said, it's going to be rather costly. Your relatives are going to make fun of you. I'm going on with Him. That's the way I'm going. So you have to come to that place. Will I? Will I? I suppose we could be saved and just kind of lounging our way along, but not like that. Let us run well. Let us run well. Let us unto His glory. James says you get a crown. You get a crown. In Peter he says, you know, you'll be like gold. You'll be like pure gold. How lovely compared to the unclean age and the lax form of Christianity that is today.